This episode of The Wyatt Files is brought to you by PDS Debt. By spring of 1945, Hitler was surrounded. Russia closed in from the east, the British and Americans from the west. The Thousand-Year Reich had 90 days left. But Hitler wasn't finished. In a secret lab in Poland, the Nazis scrambled to finish Die Glocke, the bell, a superweapon built with technology so dangerous it was intentionally buried for 1,000 years. The Nazis unleashed a power they could not control. They lost the war, and the bell disappeared. When the fighting stopped, America and Russia raced to grab Hitler's scientists before they vanished. Both sides said they came up empty. Both sides said the men who built the bell were dead and the technology was gone. One side lied, because 70 years later, that same ancient technology showed up in a patent filed by, wait for it, the U.S. Navy.
Alas, poor Yorick. I knew him, Horatio. A fellow of infinite...
Newman! Perfect timing. I need your honest, unbiased, completely positive opinion on something.
Yeah, that's not how opinions work.
I just produced a TV commercial for my new business.
A fishing charter called Masturbata Fishing Tours.
I'm sorry, it's called what?
Masturbata.
I'm the best masturbator in the tri-state area. Been masturbating since I was a guppy.
You really need to hear yourself.
Shh. Listen to this. Wyatt directed. It's very Scorsese.
Ready to become a masturbator? Trophy catches.
First time, seasoned pro, masturbator has programs for semen of all kinds.
Oh, no.
We'll teach you how to grip your pole, work the worm, get your fly down, and jerk like a pro.
Every single word of this...
I said shush. Here comes the best part.
Group baiting sessions available. Nobody finishes a baiting session faster than we do.
Okay, stop.
What?
You cannot air that commercial.
Already did. Channel 47 last Tuesday, 3 a.m. Premium time slot. Right between an ad for toe fungus cream and a national anthem. We closed out the night.
How much did all this cost?
I need $10,000.
$10,000?
No, Wyatt shot it on your phone. So $0 for the ad, just $10,000 to pay the fine to the FCC.
Well, it sounds like you need PDS debt.
Oh, did you just reel me into today's sponsor by chance?
Sure did. It starts small. A bill you can't pay, then another. Suddenly your mailbox is full of final notices. Your phone won't stop ringing. You don't answer, but you know who it is. Debt collectors. They want your car, your home, your paycheck, your peace. Debt doesn't wait. It destroys. But there's a way out. PDS Debt has helped hundreds of thousands escape before it was too late. They go beyond the numbers to understand your unique situation and create a personalized plan. No cookie-cutter solutions, just a clear path to becoming debt-free. There's no minimum credit score required. Whether your credit is bad or fair, PDS Debt helps you save more, pay off debt faster, and start putting money back in your pocket. They're A-plus rated by the BBB and boast hundreds of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. Proof that PDS Debt is a trusted solution for people who need real help getting out of debt. We've all been there. Debt is overwhelming. The interest piles up and you feel stuck. If you're dealing with credit card debt, personal loans, medical bills, or collections, don't wait. Stop living in debt. Get your free assessment and find the best option for you right now at pdsdebt.com/files. You're just 30 seconds away from your first step toward financial freedom.
pdsdebt.com/files.
That's right.
Oh, that should give me enough money for another ad.
I thought you can't run another ad.
I can't talk about masturbating on TV.
Good.
So I'm hiring a skywriter.
In the year 1010 in central India, Himboja put down his stylus. He wrote dozens of books on medicine, yoga, poetry, grammar, everything. Now he was writing about architecture, design, and machines. But he started to hesitate, something the king never did. Not because he didn't know what to write, because he realized this information was dangerous. He wrote about technology years ahead of its time. Mechanical fountains that shot across courtyards, water clocks that kept perfect time, automated guards that swung swords at anyone who tried to pass, Every invention was described in precise detail, right down to usable engineering schematics. But he wasn't so generous in his newest and most interesting entry, flying machines. He wrote about a great bird built of light wood with a human controlling wings from the inside. At the machine's center, a sealed vessel of mercury heated by fire propelled the machine through the sky. How exactly the heated mercury defied gravity, Bojer refused to say. There was a heavier craft shaped like a temple. Inside were four massive cylinders of mercury set over ovens. And just like the wooden bird, the temple would fly. Bojer wrote down the materials and the proportions. The mercury, the fire, how to pilot the craft, everything. Everything except how to build it. His other inventions came with step-by-step instructions, not these.
The construction of the machines has not been explained for the sake of secrecy and not due to lack of knowledge. In that respect, that should be known as the reason. They are not fruitful when disclosed.
Translation, I can build these. That doesn't mean I should. In ancient India, mercury was almost sacred. Mystics believed it could purify metals, cure diseases, even extend life. It was the most powerful substance they knew, but they didn't realize how dangerous it was. Hitler was obsessed with ancient myths and artifacts. He sent archaeologists looking for the Holy Grail, the Spear of Destiny, even Thor's hammer.
Mjolnir!
What?
Mjolnir! Thor's hammer was called Mjolnir.
How is that relevant?
I'm just trying to impress the Marvel movie fans.
Wait, there are still Marvel movie fans?
Yeah, you make a point.
Hitler brought in Sanskrit and Vedic experts to translate the ancient Indian texts that described exotic technology, specifically Vimanas, which could generate free energy and defy gravity, and some are shaped like a bell. Germany already had the most advanced aircraft in the world. They deployed the first jet fighters. They were dramatically faster and better armed than Allied piston and prop planes. They had the best tanks, the best subs.
Sandwiches?
Submarines.
That makes more sense.
The problem was fuel. A working Vimana solves this. Unlimited energy, anti-gravity. A few well-armed Vimanas could end the war in weeks, maybe days. But Mercury had even more powerful properties. It's the reason the Bell had a code name, Kronos. Time. Hitler didn't just want to win the war. He wanted to win it before it started. When the German scientists turned it on, it glowed a pale blue. Plants nearby turned to gray sludge. Animals fell over, convulsed and died. Birds fell out of the sky. No living thing could survive near the bell. It ran on Zerum-525, sometimes called red mercury. Red mercury was even more toxic than regular mercury. It was so dangerous and volatile, the entire machine had to be surrounded by lead. Even with heavy shielding, many of the scientists got sick. Their hair fell out, their skin blistered, they vomited blood. It was like radiation poisoning, but much faster acting and much more painful. This was the danger King Bojer hinted at. It's why he left a warning. It's why he hesitated. 1,000 years later, the Nazis didn't hesitate. The temptation was too great. The stakes were too high. Research was done in a repurposed mine that extended deep beneath the mountains. A network of tunnels connected the labs and living quarters. Scientists working on the Bell couldn't leave the site. All that mattered was the work. The Nazis knew they were losing the race for the atomic bomb. They were close, but the Manhattan Project was gonna get there first. So Hitler needed a different weapon. Something the Allies couldn't build. Something they couldn't fight. Something they couldn't even imagine. 15 feet tall, 9 feet wide, made of a hard, heavy metal and shaped like a church bell, the Glocke. Maintenance panels and portholes ran all the way around it. But that was about it. The real magic was inside the machine, its engine. The cylinders spun in opposite directions, spin mercury fast enough, and the counter-rotation could generate anti-gravity, dimension shifting, even invisibility. The bell's test site was a ring of 11 massive concrete pillars. Each had a heavy iron bolt and chain to tether the machine. A web of wires ran out of the machine and into different consoles and equipment. Since the engine distorted gravity, it also distorted time. On top of the bell was a special mirror that showed glimpses of the past. That was the main goal of Project Kronos. Free energy was good. Anti-gravity was better. But unlocking the secret to time travel, that was how you build an empire to last 1,000 years. And the Bell didn't necessarily have to send people back in time. It just needed to send information, like the D-Day landing site, a new Enigma code, or warning against attacking the Soviet Union. The Bell was a true Wunderwaffe, a wonder weapon. But the irony was, the Time Machine Project was running out of time. The Allies tore through Europe from the west, heading straight for Berlin. From the east, the Red Army. 2 million soldiers, 8,500 planes, 6,500 tanks. They were unstoppable. But when the Russians finally captured the mine, it was empty. The Nazis were gone. The Bell was gone. And by the time the war was over, every scientist who worked on the project was dead or missing. The Soviets didn't think the mine was abandoned. They thought someone got there first, murdered the scientists, and stole the Bell. They believed the Bell was on an unmarked ship somewhere, traveling by night, slowly and quietly. Maybe a merchant ship, maybe a private vessel. They didn't know for sure. But the Soviets were sure of one thing. The Bell was headed to the United States. The trapdoor of the gallows dropped, and SS Commander Jakob Spornberg fell. The noose around his throat pulled tight and snapped his neck. A few spasms, then the Nazi commander was gone. He was captured by the British in May of 1945. During questioning, he mentioned Die Glocke. Now, he wouldn't say what the Bell did, but he did say the project was closed and everyone who worked on it was dead. Around 60 men executed, so the secret would stay buried. The Brits turned him over to the Poles, who tried, convicted, and hanged him the same day. Whatever Spornberg knew about the Bell disappeared at the end of that rope. The man at the center of the Bell project was Hans Kammler. Kammler was Hitler's fixer, the man in charge of impossible projects. He oversaw the V-2 rocket program, the world's first ballistic missile. He supervised the Nazi jet aircraft factories. He also ran the tunnel system under the mountains, including the one they called Derisa, the Giant. Miles of reinforced chambers carved into the rock by prisoners who worked until they died. He designed the mine complex where the Bell was built. But in November 1945, Kammler disappeared. Now, some say he shot himself. Others say he took cyanide. One story says he died in a firefight. Another that he was captured but escaped. Four stories. None produce a body. In 1948, a German court declared him legally dead on the testimony of his driver and aide. Again, no body, no dog tags, no grave, just two men swearing he was gone. But that's not what the paperwork says. A U.S. military document dated May 30th, 1945, lists the senior German prisoners in American hands. Hermann Göring is at the top of the page. 18 names later, Hans Kammler. Researchers later found U.S. intelligence reports that put Hans Kammler alive in American custody months after the day he supposedly died. Then he vanished. The men who chased the story think they know why. Kammler made a deal. He traded information for freedom and a new life. But the U.S. wasn't interested in tunnels or jets or rockets. They had those. They wanted Die Glocke. They wanted the Bell. More than 1,600 German scientists and engineers were quietly brought to the United States after the war. The program was Operation Paperclip. In exchange for working for the Americans, their war crimes were forgiven and their background sanitized. The most famous was Wernher von Braun, who designed the V-2 rocket. That rocket eventually became the Saturn V, which took us to the moon.
Bad news.
Please don't.
50 years ago, they had the technology to get to the moon, yet somehow I have a room but I can't find a kitchen.
About 20,000 prisoners died building his rockets, worked to death or hanged in the factory as a warning. All on von Braun's watch. Major Wernher von Braun of the SS. Instead of a rope, he got a job, a title, and a pension.
Nazis commit war crimes and get a pension and a dental plan. We tell the truth and get an IRS audit. Only in America.
That's actually true. But while von Braun headed to NASA, Kammler went nowhere. Officially, the man who led Die Glocke didn't make it to America. But the technology did. For 40 years, every rocket worked the same way. Strap a cockpit to a bomb, light the fuse, and pray. Nazi missiles, NASA rockets, same design. Violent, loud, and over in minutes. Nobody thought there was any other way to move through space. Nobody except one engineer at NASA who thought the whole approach was backwards. In the early 1960s, Harold Kaufman wanted the opposite of a rocket. Not a single violent burst, a gentle push that never stopped. An engine that used very little fuel at once, but kept running and running and running for months, maybe years. The problem was, nobody knew how to build it. The existing designs didn't work, so Kaufman built his own. And he worked mostly on instinct. He could feel how the charged gas behaved inside the engine before the math caught up. But it caught up. His colleagues were terrified. Kaufman's work was dangerous. He could turn the building into a smoldering crater. But his instinct was right, again and again. And he finally got it to work. Take liquid mercury and boil it into a vapor. Hit that vapor with electrons to charge the atoms. Then throw the charged atoms out the back of the engine at tens of thousands of miles an hour. Now, one atom does almost nothing, but trillions of them, hour after hour, could push a spacecraft clear across the solar system. That's the power of sustained thrust.
Yeah, I'll show you some sustained thrust.
Take it easy.
Sorry. It's the peptides talking.
So that was the first ion engine, and it ran on mercury. When it fired, it glowed a pale blue. The same pale blue the Germans saw coming off De Glacke. In 1970, NASA bolted Kaufman's engine to a satellite called SIR-2 and waited for it to die. It didn't. They hoped it would run for 6 months. It ran for 11 years. They shut it off and restarted it more than 500 times. And it kept working. It finally ran out of fuel in 1981. But it didn't crash, it didn't break down, it's still up there. We're still tracking it. SIR-2 is considered one of NASA's greatest successes in its entire history. But they walked away from it. Not because it failed, because of what it ran on. Mercury poisoned the people who built the engines. It contaminated the spacecraft. One crash on the launch pad would spread it across the whole site. They bailed on the most efficient engine they ever designed, because they finally understood what King Boja knew 1,000 years before. Just because you can build something doesn't mean you should. But someone always picks the dangerous idea back up. There's always someone who thinks they can control it. Around 2017, the US Navy quietly filed a handful of strange patents. Warping gravity for flight. Bending gravity into a weapon. Cloaking a craft by spinning charged matter. Every one of those technologies traced back to De Glacke. This couldn't be a coincidence. There was only one explanation that made sense. The US Navy was building the Nazi Bell. In 2017, the U.S. Patent Office denied the U.S. Navy several patents. That's because they sounded like science fiction. A particle weapon that could knock a missile out of the sky, a fusion reactor small enough to fit in a garage, gravity shielding, cloaking, lensing, and a patent for a vehicle that sounds familiar. A cone-shaped craft that could fly through the air, dive into the ocean, and cross through space. It leaves no heat signature and runs on a single anti-gravity engine. When these patents were rejected as fiction, the Navy's chief technology officer told the patent office, all these inventions worked. And by the way, China was also working on the same technology. So in 2018, the patents were approved.
China is doing it. Those magic words get any project approved.
That's true.
Yeah, especially projects that try to gain new functions.
Okay.
What, bad joke? Bad joke.
That's enough.
Sorry. Get back to the vid. Yeah.
The inventor kept a low profile. He still does. Salvatore Paez is an aerospace engineer who worked at various secret test bases. When the public learned about the patents, the media wanted to speak to him. He gave no interviews. There are hardly any pictures of him anywhere. He barely exists on paper. Today he works for the United States Space Force. If you find his cell number, let me know, by the way. All his patents ran on one idea, the Paez effect. Take an object and give it an electric charge. Spin charged matter fast. Spin it fast enough at the right frequency, you warp the space around it. Suddenly, the rules of physics no longer apply. A craft can be invisible or have no mass. Inertia disappears. Gravity bends around the machine instead of pulling it down. This is the same technology Sporenberg described 70 years ago, and the same technology King Boja described 1,000 years before that. But Boja wasn't stupid enough to build it. He knew how dangerous mercury was. He saw what happened to the men who handled it. Tremors, vomiting blood, blindness, insanity. He knew one spilled barrel would poison a city. The Nazis ignored that warning in 1945. NASA learned it the hard way in the 60s. But in 2018, a Silicon Valley entrepreneur decided that 1,000 years of wisdom didn't apply to him. He put together a plan to launch thousands of satellites into near-Earth orbit, and they would put 20 metric tons of mercury into the atmosphere. 20 metric tons per year. You want to know what the Earth looks like after a few years of that? Okay, you asked for it. It starts in your mouth. A taste like old pennies. Your gums smell and bleed. A tooth comes loose, then another, and you can't stop drooling. Then your hands turn pink, bright and swollen like they've been boiled. Skin peels off your thigh in long red strips. Light is unbearable. You sit in the dark. The sun feels like needles in your eyes. Then comes the tremors. Small at first. It's difficult to write. Then you can't hold a cup. You can't hold a spoon. You can't feed yourself. But by then you don't care. You have fits of rage, then fear, then long empty stretches where you can't remember your own children's names. Then you can't remember your own name. You can't remember anything at all. It's in the rain, then it's in the wheat, then in every plant on Earth. The animals go first. Most die of convulsions or internal bleeding, but some go insane. Dogs attack their owners. Cats intentionally drown themselves. And it's in every tap on Earth. You can't boil it out. You can't filter it. And it kills you slowly, mercilessly. By the time you die, you're barely human. And the babies are born already shaking. That's what worldwide mercury poisoning looks like. And it almost happened.
Oh, so this isn't going to happen?
No.
That's too bad. When you said cats were drowning, I felt so warm inside.
Stop that.
Vicious hell beasts.
The Minamata Convention banned new mercury mining and phased out existing mines. The U.S. signed it in 2013. Mercury could no longer be used in manufacturing and healthcare. But here's the thing about that treaty. It didn't say anything about space. In 2018, Apollo Fusion Inc. began quietly pitching mercury engines to satellite manufacturers. Mercury was cheap and efficient. A few pounds of mercury could power a satellite for a year. Thousands of satellites mean saving billions of dollars. Small problem, though. All those engines emit their mercury waste back to Earth. A whistleblower did the math. In 2018 alone, about 4,000 satellites were launched. Just 1,000 satellites would dump around 20 tons of mercury into the upper atmosphere, and that was 20 tons every year. It'd be in the rain, then the oceans, then the entire food chain. Mercury would infect every cell of our bodies.
That's 3 safety tips for you guppies out there. Don't talk to strangers, don't eat gas station sushi, don't touch a T-1000 or Robert Patrick. Yeah, somebody out there gets it.
In 2022, the UN closed that loophole and banned mercury as satellite fuel. But closing one loophole doesn't close the next. Ban something, and the money just goes looking for the exception, and it always finds one. And whether it's using illegal chemical weapons in Vietnam or illegal drone strikes on sovereign countries in 2026, nobody's better at war crimes, I mean loopholes, than the USA. Ancient kings and secret Nazi weapons. This is right up my alley. Love it. But is it true? Well, some of it is, but not all of it. The entire DeGlacka story traces back to one man. Igor Witkowski published claims in 2000. He got a tip from an intelligence contact he called Mr. X. Mr. X let Witkowski read transcripts of Sporenberg's interrogation. He could look and take notes, but he could not make copies. So it's been 25 years, and no one else has seen those documents. Sporenberg's actual interrogation transcripts are there. He was a field police commander tried for murdering civilians. There's no Bell mentioned in his file. But we don't have to listen to journalists, because why would you? We can listen to the Nazi scientists themselves, literally. At the end of the war, the British rounded up 10 of Germany's top nuclear physicists. They put them in a country house and bugged every room. For 6 months, scientists talked freely. They argued about why Germany's atomic program failed. They argued about quantum mechanics. They argued about women. The transcripts came out in 1992, hundreds of pages. There's no mention of a Bell, no Serum 525, no Kronos, no Red Mercury, no flying machines. And these are the men who would know. These were the scientists linked to the Glocka by Igor Wachowski. Those 11 concrete pillars in the forest, well, they make the story feel real because they're there, but it's just a base for an industrial water tower. There are structures like this all over Europe. The Glocka story really took off in 2001 when Nick Cook wrote about it in his book, The Hunt for Zero Point. Cook was a respected aerospace journalist. His book was about advanced propulsion. He was intrigued by the Glocka story, but he framed it as part of a pattern of rumors around Nazi wonder weapons. He never said it was true. In 2021, he said the Glocka was probably part of Germany's nuclear program and probably designed for enriching uranium. But that's not the end of the story. Like all good urban legends, there's plenty of truth here. Kambodja was real. He wrote hundreds of books about everything, including engineering. The Samarangara Sutradhara is real. It really does describe mercury and fire lifting a craft into the sky, and he really refuses to finish the instructions. Vimanas were real. Sort of. They were flying chariots or flying palaces used by gods in Hindu literature. Now, were the ancient Indians describing UFOs? That's a different episode. That's the theory. NASA really did power satellites and spacecraft with mercury. They stopped in the 1970s because it was so toxic. That didn't stop a former Google exec from trying to get rich. Salvatore Paez is a real engineer. The patents for anti-gravity and visibility faster than light travel? All real. But Paez has no peer-reviewed evidence, and his descriptions are vague, and they mix proven science with speculation. He's been widely criticized by physicists and engineers for those claims. Forbes magazine said his technology is either an Einstein-level breakthrough or government-funded gaslighting. I think you know where I stand on that. What about the disappearance of Hans Kammler? Well, the story is dicey. There are documents putting Kammler in U.S. custody. He was even assigned an interrogator, but the U.S. has never released an official statement. FOIA requests about him are denied, or disappear, or are heavily redacted. American intelligence has plenty of records about Kammler, but most of them are still classified. Now, from my research, I'm pretty sure the Americans had him. Now, whether he died, was murdered, escaped, or given a deal, I don't know. The U.S. is still hiding a lot of information that's 80 years old. Red Mercury, that's a myth. But there's a reason real mercury shows up in so many stories. It's fascinating. Mercury is the only metal that's liquid at room temperature. It's heady. It flows like water. It carries electricity. And when you charge it, it glows. It looks like magic. But it's dangerous magic. Boja said he left the instructions out for the sake of secrecy. For 1,000 years, people read that one way. He didn't want anyone to abuse the technology. But Boja wasn't protecting the machine from us. He was protecting us from the machine. And look at what happened every time someone actually built the Mercury engine. It worked. Engineers ran Mercury through power plants, and it was more efficient than steam. NASA used it in satellites that ran forever. The machine was never the problem. The Mercury was. Every one of those projects died the same way. Not from failure, from poison. This was the lesson King Boja tried to teach us 1,000 years ago. Just because you can build something doesn't mean you should. And as long as mercury and greed exist at the same time, someone's always going to try to conquer mercury, and a lot of people are going to get hurt. So, mercury or greed, we have to get rid of one of those. But there's really only one we can control. Because mercury, the magical metal that can destroy a civilization, it lasts forever. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. My name is AJ. That's Hecklefish.
You want some sustained stress to Thor's hammer? Call me.
You might want to cut back on the peptides, pal. This has been The Y-Files. Get fun or learn anything, I'd appreciate it if you like, subscribe, comment, share. That stuff really makes the fish happy. Like most topics we cover on the channel, today's was recommended by you. By a lot of you. Since a long time ago. If there's a story you want me to cover, go to thewyfiles.com/tips, leave a note, catch us in the chat, hop on Discord, send us an email. You can reach us. Always looking for good stories. Now, if you enjoy the stories I tell in The Y-Files, check out my other show on the channel. It's called The Basement. It's a conversation show, podcast, where I chat with the interesting people behind the episodes. Some of them you know, some you don't, but I think you'd enjoy just about everybody. They're all fascinating people. Experts on fun topics like Knights Templar, moon landing hoax, JFK conspiracy, secret Nazi weapons. I mean, they're all here. Random stuff. And if there's someone you'd like to see on the show, let me know. Always on the hunt for good guests. Remember, you can take us on the road. The Y-Files is also a podcast. I upload about twice a week, episodes, campfire stories, interviews, and it's called The Y-Files Operation Podcast. I was short on time for a name. That's what I came up with. Anyway, it's available everywhere. And if you are listening on an audio platform, hit the buttons, the thumbs up, follow, like, whatever they are. Those really help a lot. If you need more Y-Files in your life, see a therapist. No, I'm just kidding. Or see one. Can't hurt. Anyway, there are 100,000 members on Discord, so 24/7, there's someone on there talking about the same weird stuff we do here. It's a great community, really supportive, a lot of fun, and it's free to join. Speaking of 24/7, check out our 24/7 stream on the Y-Files Backstage. Over there, we run episodes back-to-back, some fun content in between. The content in between, I think, is better than the episodes. And better than the content is the chat. There's a great community over there. There are links down below. Y-Files Backstage. Special thanks to our patrons who made this episode happen and make this channel possible. Every episode of the Y-Files is dedicated to my Patreon members. I couldn't do any of this without you. I couldn't have gotten here without you. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And if you'd like to support the channel, keep us going, join this community, become a member on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, exclusive merch, and 2 private live streams every week just for you. And those are a lot of fun. The whole Y-Files team is on the stream. You can turn on your webcam, hop up on stage, ask a question, tell a joke. If you want more information about a story, talk about whatever you want. It's a great way to get to know us as people. I think it's the best perk there is. Another great way to support the channel, grab something from the Y-Files store.
Grab a Hagamish t-shirt. Oh, what are these face to look lovely like? I'll get a hoodie. I'll set my face on it. I'll get one of these squeezy adorable. Look at it. I just want to squeeze it. I get a squeezy animal. Talking animal toy doll. Fish toy.
And I'm not supposed to say this on YouTube, but Crab Cat Whiskey is up. You didn't hear it here. But if you're going to buy any merch, you didn't hear it from me. But if you're going to buy some merch, become a member on YouTube. Hear me out. YouTube members get 10% off everything, forever. Every month you get a code. And membership is $3. So if you're going to spend $40 on Fistable coffee mugs or t-shirts or fish shirts, whatever, it pays for itself. And look, you want to use the code and cancel, that's fine. That membership is not there to make me money. It is there to save you money. Plus, all that revenue goes to the team. I don't touch it.
Keep that secret tucked under your door so good, eh, pal?
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. Whew, that was kind of janky. I wonder how much we're going to cut. I'll find out. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
In Area 51, a secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. The crab cat and got stuck inside Mel's hole with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set, or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told, and his name was Cold. And I can't believe I'm dancing with the fish. Heck of a fish.
signs and the solar storm still come to Agartha, the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found. In a simulation, don't you worry though, the Black Knight satellite, it's over me, so I can't believe.